Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another It's General's Orders. You are joined by me, Andy, FPL Mode, and we are also joined by the legend himself, Mark, FPL General. How's it going, Mark?
I'm good, Andy. Good to be here. Good to be streaming with you again. We were trying to figure out beforehand how long it's been, and I think we figured out it might be way back in the Championship Manager days in lockdown 2020, so we're well overdue a stream together.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, scary stuff, that is. You see, that was back in the first lockdown when we did the Champ Man pod. Talking about, I don't know, what is it, Rebrov and Selakovic and players like that. So, yeah, it's been a while, but we're going to be talking about some different players today, I feel.
Yeah, just off the back of the wild cards, quick turnaround, midweek game week coming up, so plenty to get stuck into.
Yeah, exactly. We got a few people in the chat already as well. Obviously, it's Easter weekend, so a few people are off today, so hopefully they can come and join us. We will have a bit of a Q&A at the end, but we're going to go through Mark's points, we're going to go through Mark's best team, and we're also going to look at some cheap defenders as well. Richard Matthews is in the chat, said, who's the best replacement for Lascelles? Don't worry, Mark already thought about that. We've got a little table for you here, so we'll make sure that we go over that by the end. But make sure you stay till the end, because we'll do a bit of a Q&A as well. So if we have a little bit of a look at your points then, Mark, talk us through what happened this week.
Yeah, spent 2 weeks tinkering on the wild card, and as always, you overthink every single position, and often after that, frustration arrives. And the main frustration for me was the first game of the game week, because I spent 2 weeks with Isak in my draft. Didn't really overthink it at all. Didn't overthink it until the last second on Saturday morning. So the very last piece of the jigsaw was Darwin in for Isak, and then played Lascelles in my wildcard as well. So the Newcastle game was an absolute disaster, because I also had Bowen and Kudus in my Game Week 29 team. So straight away, it's just the way FPL works, isn't it? You couldn't script it if you tried. And there was also a draft on Thursday night where I was considering a 3-5-2 with Muniz and Anthony Gordon would have been in that one. Isak maybe not, but overall it was a terrible start. But again, things didn't work out too badly in the end. 62 points, small green arrow from 95k to 91k. Just for the audio listeners, I'll read out as well the wild card. Petrovic and Gusto double up, fantastic 3 points in total. Lascelles 9 month injury. Pedro Porro blanks again. Midfield captain Son for 20. Cole Palmer came in with Salah and Saka, so Palmer and Salah delivered. Salah, frustratingly as well, though, for wildcarders, gave me 30. Was it 12 shots, 3 big chances? Yeah. To come away with just 1 goal was very frustrating there, because going early on Liverpool, you know, a week earlier was one of the big, you know, factors for playing the wildcard in 30. Darwin blanked, Haaland blanked, and Solanke came in with a goal. And of course, the game week started well, or didn't start well, with Isak doing well. And the game week ended badly with a 0-0 in the Man City game, because I had Saka and Haaland and I benched Gabriel. So a bad start, a bad ending, but thankfully a midweek game week where things will hopefully be better.
Yeah, and actually, when you're thinking about it, and a lot of people will be on wildcard as well, you had a green arrow on a bad week And this isn't obviously just set up for this week, is it? You're thinking into the future. You've got your free hits using 34. You've got your bench boost use as well. So this is you for the next 7 to 8 weeks. And actually, if you're starting on a little green arrow, it's not the end of the world, is it, I guess?
Yeah, and you know what? I set myself a goal, wildcard game week 30, to get 9 green arrows. And I don't think it's impossible when, you know, effectively 3 of those weeks were a chip. So, and I've had plenty of wildcard weeks where it's a red arrow. We know how they go. You know, the players you sell do well, and the new signings maybe take a bit of time to bring the points in. So I'll always take a green arrow, even if it's a small one. But of course, I've been having Alexander Isak nightmares all weekend. So do you know what? And he's probably going to do the same midweek. And watch Darwin get a rest now against Sheffield United for the Man United game, and Isak sticks another couple of penalties in. But hey, those are the decisions. It was always a close call for me. And on another day, you know, Darwin does well and Isak doesn't get 2 penalties. So I think the process was fine. But of course, when he was there for 2 weeks, it stings a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Solanke sat there. Obviously, he's got some nice fixtures coming up in terms of, what, Luton at home, and then he's got the double in 34, but obviously you're free-hitting. Is there any temptation for you to move Solanke to Isak?
Possibly, and do you know what? Going back to the wildcard tinkering last week, a lot of people were I was doing a live stream, and people were suggesting, you know, just go Darwin and Isak rather than deciding between the two. And the reason I went back to Solanke was I had Chris Richards as my fifth defender. And he doesn't really work for me when I've got a free hit in 34. I don't really need him. So I wanted to get a double gimmick 37 defender in that position. So by downgrading Isak to Solanke, it just freed up a little bit of cash to get the man that is Van Hecke instead of Chris Richards. And I might even need Van Hecke now midweek. So hopefully it's written in the stars that the Van Hecke move by not getting Isak will pay itself back, and Van Hecke will be the one getting the 15-pointer this week. So I think the week after wildcard, I do always like to bank a transfer. So that's what I want to try and do. Of course, there's temptation to go to Isak now, given that I was very close to doing so. But given the defensive issues, which we'll talk about, it's either a defensive transfer or nothing probably this week.
Yeah, I do love how wildcard thoughts work, where you had to kind of downgrade Isak to Solanke to afford Van Hecke. And if you told yourself that at the beginning of the season. But like you just alluded to there, defensive issues this week, you know, that even those people that wildcarded, getting Lascelles, getting Gusto. We haven't had an update on Gusto yet, but he did go off injured. Lascelles, like you just said, out for 9 months. You got Van Hecke there. Pedro Porro should obviously be absolutely fine with his doubles coming up, and you don't have to worry about him for 34, even though he blanks. And Gabriel, you know, Arsenal just carrying on what they've been doing all season, being one of the best defences in the league, kept a clean sheet against City, so he's absolutely fine. But before we came on today, you asked me to make a bit of a table for defenders, because you're looking at Lascelles already and thinking, you know, he was supposed to be playing for me a little bit moving forward, and he's now out for 6 to 9 months. So I have got this table up here, which shows the best cheap defenders based on XGI per 90 over the season. Now, if I just quickly run down through this table in terms of order, and then you can talk to me about who you fancy, Mark. So we got Bradley at the top, 0.31 in terms of XGI per 90. He's done very, very well. Didn't keep a clean sheet this week, but did get 2 bonus points, even though he got no attack and returns and conceded. Then it's Christoph Ayer, Gusto, Maguire, who's up there, Reguilón, Toffolo, Burns, Senesi, Burke, Doherty, who is about halfway down this table, which is interesting. Munoz, Neco Williams, Cabore, got players like Conte, Vitinho, who is Az's little mate, Vitinho there. Van Hecke's up here as well, Branthwaite. And then my man, I had to put him up here, Tyreek Mitchell, is on the table as well. When you're looking down through this, I mean, it does drop off quite considerably after Bradley. Bradley is kind of cleaning up here in terms of the XGI. But if you were looking to sell Lascelles this week, who would you be looking at, considering all the fixtures moving forward as well?
Yeah, Bradley, no surprise to see Bradley top of the list there. He's been fantastic in Trent's absence. On the wildcard again last week, I kind of had a, maybe not a 50-50 call, but I was quite close between Kelleher or Bradley to get my Liverpool defensive cover. And I ended up going for Kelleher. And it came down to, you know, my team value wasn't great. I think my wildcard had 0.1 million left over. But again, watching the Liverpool game, I was fearful because he was bombing forward. He looked really good. And it didn't surprise me that he picked up a couple of bonus points because, you know, created a few chances and stuff like that. So, but again, on Bradley, I think last week was probably the week for me to get him. And I've already got triple Liverpool, so I can't go there anyway. And even people who don't have triple Liverpool, with every passing game week, you're getting closer to Trent, Alexander-Arnold, you know, being back, and we know that will eat into Bradley's minutes in some way or another. So I'm not keen to go there. Can't go there anyway. I've got Gusto, I've got Lascelles, I've got issues. Again, thinking back to last week, I was very close to picking Harry Maguire instead of Van Hecke, because again, I'm looking at bench boost 37, and United are likely to have a double that week. And again, one of the, I think the last thing I did was take Isak out. Maybe the move before that was I took Maguire out and I put in Van Hecke. And it was just because, you know, Maguire's had fitness issues, had minutes concerns. A lot of other defenders were fit at United. So I just took away that uncertainty. Van Hecke's been getting all the minutes for Brighton. But now, since then, you know, the weekend, Varane, I think, went off injured. Mm-hmm. Lindelof picked up an issue. So all of a sudden, Maguire's looking a bit more secure, short-term and long-term. So for me, I think Maguire's the one that jumps out at me from this list, because I was close to going there anyway. And he ticks all the boxes of I can use him sometimes when the fixtures are okay. And then hopefully he's decent for a bench boost later as well. So like I said, I'm probably going to bank this week. But if I was to make a move, Maguire would probably be up there. But again, doesn't have a great fixture this week from memory. So, but he is the one that interests me.
And to be fair, if you've got someone like Lascelles and you need to get rid of him, and you've got other defenders that can play the next couple of weeks, I think Munoz is a really good shout as well. Munoz, considering he's got the double in 34, obviously if you need him to play in 34, but the fixtures moving into that aren't maybe the nicest. They've got Man City and Liverpool before 34. So if he's a player you can stick on your bench, I think that's a good shout as well. But it's yeah, like I said, the lead up to 34 isn't very nice for Crystal Palace. But out of all of this list, do you think Maguire's probably the way you would go?
Yeah, I think Maguire suits my approach best, but I'm with you. I think Munoz could be the best of all here, just in the, you know, the small sample size we've seen of attacking potential, lots of goals at his previous club in the last two seasons. And again, if you're not going to free hit in 34 and you're planning to get doublers in for that, great option for 34 itself. Again, a couple of tricky fixtures to come before then, but if you can hide him for those, absolutely fine. And you know, the way FPL is at the moment anyway, with clean sheets, it's probably not the end of the world if you had to start an attack in Munoz in difficult fixtures and just try get a 4 point or a 5 point assist from him. But yeah, Munoz, great for non-free hitters, I feel. I'm almost certainly going to have him when I do free hit in 34, which is nice. I don't need to worry about him just yet. But again, I remember building the wild card and I said, I don't need to worry about all these good give me 34 options until 34, and then my four defensive picks all blank anyway. So there's just, it's hard to find good defenders this season.
Yeah, it really is. And actually, it's one thing that I noticed this week is I saw a lot of people taking hits for defenders again. So like, for instance, Gusto, people were losing players for Gusto. And there's just no guarantee of clean sheets this season, even if those players are really good attacking-wise. You know, clean sheets, I think it was Villa, and then obviously in the last game there was a clean sheet as well. But it's just been ridiculous all season trying to get them. So trying to bank on good fixtures and getting clean sheets just doesn't seem to be a tactic this season, does it?
Yeah, and do you know what the biggest stinger of the weekend for me was? Isak was frustrating enough, but it was the Chelsea game, because they go down, Burnley go down to 10 men. And I think straight away, now I can relax. The Isak pain is going away because I'm going to get two Chelsea clean sheets. You know, it's locked in now. And then not just one conceded, they managed to concede two. And then the Gusto injury just thrown in for good measure. So that summed up, I think that game for me summed up the season in terms of defenders and clean sheets.
Yeah, really is. It's just one of those ones you could look at a wild card and think, I can't see how this wild card's going to do wrong, or I can't see how it's not going to do very well. And then you get something like a Gusto and Lascelles injury, and all of a sudden it's looking a little bit tight. I mean, if we bring up your best team, I know this is, I'm storming through this quite quick, but it's kind of leading how we're going. If we look at your best team, all of a sudden, like I said, Gusto and Lascelles injured. At least you didn't go for Gordon, which obviously he's suspended as well, which isn't great. But because you wildcard it, you're still looking at rolling and then having those two free transfers in 32, yeah?
Yeah, I think it makes the most sense. Like I said, I think most people do try and roll the week after. You shouldn't have too many issues. Of course, I've got a few, but because I've got Pedro Porro, who's fine against West Ham, I know maybe not a clean sheet, but attacking potential. Gabriel's got a good fixture at home to Luton. And when I've got a defender in Van Hecke, Brentford away, it's not a horrendous fixture. You know, at least there's a small chance of something there from him. I just don't see the need to move this week. Again, just double checking the fixtures. Maguire is away to Chelsea, so I'm not going to make a free transfer on that one this week. Elsewhere, like I said, I'm not going to get a Munoz yet. You know, I'll just get him on my free hit. So the front seven is absolutely fine. Gabriel and Porro were fine. Kelleher's great against Sheffield United. So Van Hecke is, you know, he is the weak link in the team, but I could look at it as, you know, he is an enabler that allows me to have a good team elsewhere. So yeah, gonna bank if I can.
Yeah, it's interesting you said about the front seven there. So the front seven for you is Palmer, Salah, Saka, Son. Beautiful midfield. Solanke and Darwin up top, and then Haaland. Now, I did want to ask you a little bit about Haaland today, because there's people without him. Obviously, he's got a home fixture coming up. He's got a lovely run in to finish the season. Doesn't have a double in 34, but does most likely in 37. There's people without him at the moment, and there's people maybe wildcarding this week. Is there a world where you think going without Haaland till after 34 makes sense? Because he's had two of what the toughest games he could have, Liverpool and Arsenal, the last two, and he's blanked in both. There's been a few little mumblings that it's not quite working at the moment, and, you know, it's not the player that we were used to seeing this season. And we've got players like Darwin, we've got players like Isak, we've got Solanke, we've got Muniz, we've got lots of these other strikers that seem to be returning. Is there a world you think going without Haaland makes sense till after 34?
Just from personal experience, don't go Darwin over Haaland is the first thing I would say, especially not after the most recent game week. There was, again, going back to my wildcard tinkering, there was a couple of drafts I did without Haaland, particularly the early ones. I just thought, you know, you can do a lot with that cash. Mm. You can have a more rounded squad. And if you can plan out your captaincies maybe for the next couple of weeks and you've got strong ones that are not Erling Haaland, there's always a case. There's always a case for going without him. There's so many different ways to play this game. And even if Haaland does do well, as long as your team does well also, you can match those Haaland teams and even still outscore them. So I think we fall into the trap sometimes thinking, this guy's incredible, we need to have him, must have, captain, et cetera, et cetera. But we forget very quickly we are spending 14.3 million, which is a massive chunk of budget, and you can do an awful lot with that. So there is a case. I don't think it's something I would recommend. I brought him back in on the wild card, and I'm still, you know, I just see him as a season keeper now again. And again, I'm not reading too much into fixtures previously because they were tricky games. You know, you're playing Arsenal, the best defensive team in the league. Saliba and Gabriel were excellent. They just completely made him look like a bang average forward. And I think that's more about how good those two defenders are at the moment, as opposed to maybe Haaland being off it. And maybe he is off it a wee bit. There was one chance in particular that he just totally missed the ball. You know, it was bizarre. It looked like me when I play on a Tuesday night at five-a-side. But again, back to fixtures for Haaland. Villa at home, I like. You know, Villa are missing a couple of key guys. Crystal Palace away is good. Luton at home in 33 in particular. You're going to want to have him for that one, for captaincy probably. And then it's, I know people will go double game week strikers maybe in 34 instead. But again, Brighton away is still a good fixture for Erling Haaland. So for me, I would still, you know, if I was wildcarding this week, I'd be following the same process. I'd be looking at the fixtures, and I'm pretty sure he would still be in my team.
Yeah, no, I agree. And people in the chat, by the way, if you want to chuck in your questions now, ready for it in a minute, because I've just got one last question. And my last question was, it's another forward. I mean, we've been waiting all season, probably about two seasons for good forwards, and now it seems like we've got all of them all at once. Ollie Watkins has been absolutely incredible this season. Picked up a bit of a knock, went off at half-time last weekend, which is a bit tough for owners because they were expecting something against Wolves, I think. But yeah, went off at halftime. We haven't had an update yet on how he's doing, but, you know, quick turnaround, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday fixtures. If you had him and you wanted to move off him, which I think a lot of people are, who would you be going to? Who would be your kind of... If you were free-hitting in 34, who would you move to? And if you weren't free-hitting in 34, who do you think you'd be moving to?
Yeah, going back to Watkins, it is... Probably the main reason I have a small green arrow this week is because he didn't do anything. I was absolutely terrified of Watkins because I lost him on the wild card. Mm. I was very close to actually just keeping him and booking in a transfer for the week after. But thankfully, you know, I'm one transfer ahead now because of that. And I got fortunate with the substitution. So in terms of replacing him, I think you do sell him this week. I think most people are probably planning to do that anyway before the injury because it's Man City. So it seems like a good exit route. I'm trying to think if I was free hitting in 34, which I am, player to go for is, it probably does come back to Isak again. I've just got the fixtures in front of me here. Yeah, I really like Isak, and I do regret not going there. And then if you are not planning to free hit in 34 and you're maybe wanting to get a double gaming striker in for that, again, looking at the fixtures, probably comes down to Darwin versus Solanke. Who else have you got there? It probably is between those two. And Darwin is such an enigma, isn't he? He just teases us about what he can do. You know, he's got these 20 pointers in him that we're probably never ever going to see. We see them in our minds and we see them in our dreams, but we see two pointers in reality very often. Solanke's been very steady, you know, and you know, again, I felt quite comfortable going back to Solanke just for the steady Eddie approach. Mm-hmm. But fixtures, because there's a Sheffield United home fixture this week, and if Darwin starts that one, there could be damage. So I think it's got to be Darwin this week if you're moving away from Watkins.
Yeah, it's all about those fixtures, isn't it? I mean, Sheffield United at home, Man United away, which could easily be a couple of goals for Liverpool, and then Crystal Palace at home before a double of Fulham and Everton both away. You've just got to back those fixtures, I think. But I do think Darwin's taken a bit of a knock now compared to maybe 10 weeks ago, where we thought he was on pens and he was on penalties, but it looks like McAllister will be on the penalties if Salah's not on the pitch. That is a little bit of a knock for him, isn't it? But like you said, those fixtures and the underlying stats he's still putting up all season, I think you go with him because the potential is always there to hit that ceiling of 20-odd points, isn't it?
Yeah, and again, it's fixture. It's Sheffield United. This is the money. This is the money game. Obviously, there's slight concerns of a bit of Liverpool rotation across the board this week with three games in a week, and we know their history of managing minutes and red zones and all that kind of stuff. So, but again, I think you've got to take the gamble because Liverpool, if they turn up, which they probably will against Sheffield United, that could easily be 4, 5, 6, you know. So yeah. I think you've got to, it's almost like you've got to be there just in case it does happen. So yeah, I'm all for Darwin. I'm going to keep beating this Darwin drum while he's in my team.
Do you take any stock into the fact that he could be benched though? Because obviously new buyers, it's a tougher decision to make, isn't it? You had last week's fixture as well, and you've got this one, that's fine. But those people that are thinking about investing in him this week, is there that in the back of your head thinking, well, yeah, he could be rested. Like, there's going to be some rotation this week, isn't there?
Yeah, and it was in my head last week, so it would be in my head even more this week now that he's got another start and played, you know, a significant amount of minutes. So you've got to factor it in, and some people will factor that in and think, right, maybe I just get a Solanke because there's no concerns there. But, you know, I was weighing it all up last week, and there was cons for all of them because Darwin can be rotated with Gakpo. Isak's had a lot of issues this season. So three games in a week for him is not easy either. And Solanke's had his own niggle that we've seen in recent times. So every one of them had slight concerns. And I think in hindsight, looking back, I know it's easy to have regret when someone does well, but penalties are a big factor. And maybe they're a bigger factor in my mind than they should be, but I've always leaned quite heavily on penalty takers in FPL. And again, I'm kind of annoyed with myself a bit for going with Darwin over a penalty taker in Isak. So, yeah.
It's always tough, though, isn't it? I always think, like, for instance, with Isak this weekend, scores two penalties, and you think, is that luck? But then you think, well, no, because people pick him because he's the penalty taker, and obviously he got two penalties. That doesn't happen every week, but he's a good shout when he's fit, isn't he?
Yeah, and Isak, even take away penalties, he's just really good. Yeah. You know, he's just a really good striker. You know, it's... Again, think of it this way. I always think if you have a striker going through 1v1 against a goalkeeper, do you want it to be Darwin or Isak? And I would take Isak. Yeah. You know, he's just a cool, very cool finisher.
And Newcastle, I mean, they've shown us quite a lot, aren't they? Where they're almost playing Kevin Keegan football again, aren't they? Where it's got to be we score more than you because their defence just can't keep anybody out at the moment.
Yeah, basketball matches at the moment for Newcastle, which again is attractive for like the likes of Gordon and Isak. So, and Harvey Barnes, very impressive off the bench. So we'll see what, you know, if he can get a bit more game time going forward as well.
Yeah, yeah, you'd think that he'd play next week with Gordon suspended. So hopefully, but obviously Barnes has had quite a few injuries as well. Right, we've got quite a few questions in the chat. Before we move on to the questions, just very, very quickly, Mark, captaincy this week, is it foregone conclusion? Salah against Sheffield United at home, is it even worth looking at anybody else?
It's the Smucker's Uncrustables Radio Hour. With round, soft, pillowy bread filled with delicious PB&J, here's your host, Uncrustables.
Caller on line 3. What's eating you?
No one.
Crust, is that you?
Ugh. Uncrustables are the best part of the sandwich. Sorry, Crust.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It's, yeah, it's got to be Salah. Fixture is the better than anyone else. And a player who just had 12 shots in a game, that helps the decision as well. So I will not be overthinking it. Saka's got a good fixture home to Luton. Even Son's okay against West Ham. Haaland against Villa, I don't mind. Crazy people will crack Captain Darwin at home to Sheffield United. But yeah, got to be Salah this week.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right, let's move on to some questions then. We've got a few. I think we had about over 200 people in the chat at one point. So thank you so very much for joining us. Gavin Butler says, is Eight Nori an option moving forward?
Again, another player I considered quite strongly on the wildcard last week. If I didn't have a free hit, he probably would have made it. But I can just get him on a free hit 34 when he's got the two fixtures. This week, great fixture, home to Luton, I think it is. Luton, then Brighton, then Villa, and then the double. And again, in a season where clean sheets are hard to come by, you want attacking defenders. And Eight Nori always looks good when he's in the final third. I think he did come off after 63 or 64 minutes, which is a slight concern. But I would fancy him to start most games. And yeah, I think he's a good pick.
Yeah. Mahomi says, how much thought have you put into free hit 34, Mark?
Probably zero, because yeah. I mean, you've got a free hit, so you just pick the team that week. I say zero, but when I was weighing it up, I was kind of weighing up bench boost or free hit in 34, and then I just decided that I liked free hit more when I put a bench boost squad together. So it looks quite exciting to me as a free hitter, because you can pick the best three Liverpool and three Arsenal at that time, which might not necessarily be the best three right now. Alisson, for example, Trent could come into the equation. And at Arsenal, you know, I like players like Odegaard, you know, Havertz, Jesus. These guys are all options on a free hit. And then what else do I like about a free hit? Yeah, I think there's scope to be, you know, slightly different. And again, it allows me not to bother with the likes of Munoz and Eze until then. And of course, they can score before that. But when they've got Man City and Liverpool 32 and 33, I like swerving those two games and then maybe getting a Munoz and an Eze and maybe even a third Palace player on that free hit as well. So again, not giving it too much thought, because I'll just pick the team when I get there. But again, you know, it's going to be three Liverpool, three Arsenal, two Palace. Solanke probably stays for that one, and then just fill in the blanks after that.
And actually, like a lot of people were saying when they were on free hit 29, it's what you can do around the free hit that's nice, isn't it? So like you just said there, you don't have to invest in the Branthwaites, the Munozes, things like that before you get there. It's literally you just have them that one week. And what I say we, because I'm on free hit 34 as well, you can also start building for after free hit 34 as well. So we're kind of focusing on double game week 37 and making sure we've got players for that as well. So it's interesting to see how it works in that week. But free hit 34, yes. Like you said, don't start planning too much who your team's going to be until you get to it, because you can get who is best at that time, can't you?
Yeah, you made me think there. You're saying the nice thing about free hit 34 is you can, you know, avoid players before that. I'm just thinking about defenders. You can get, instead of getting defenders who get two pointers, you can get other defenders who get two pointers, yeah, instead.
Exactly. Or you can get Reggie on like I did and get minus three. Right. Mohamed Abu Salim says, is it enough to have 9 double game week players in game week 34, or should I be taking a hit to include more?
People always ask about numbers, you know, quantity of players, but it's always quality. You know, it's those 9 players could be 3 Sheffield United, 3 Everton, 3 Wolves, but you want them to be 3 Arsenal, 3 Liverpool, you know, a sprinkling of others. So it's more about who those players are. You know, don't focus on the numbers. The main thing is, you know, try and get to triple Liverpool, triple Arsenal to start with. You know, if you have 6 and then even 2 or 3 more doublers, I think I'd be quite content with that. So yeah, focus on the good teams and the good players first of all, rather than the number of actual players you have.
Yeah. We got a £5 super chat from Nick saying, nice surprise to see you hosting this, Andy. No problem, mate. Enjoyed the stream. He says, questions. Should I take out Gordon or Hwang first? So Gordon or Hwang, who would be your preference to take out of the two of them?
It's just a one-game ban for Gordon, I think, isn't it? So yeah. I think Gordon's just a good long-term pick. You know, Newcastle fixtures are great right up until the end of the season. So I'd be inclined to keep Anthony Gordon. So I would lose Hwang first.
Yeah, and his second question was, should I get Havertz or Rice?
I'm just going back to the first question because it might be a manager who is not free-hitting in 34, so I can see why maybe Hwang might stay when they've got Arsenal Bournemouth. So again, we should caveat, you know, if you're not free-hitting, then there's more case to keep Hwang possibly. But even then, where are Newcastle on this ticker? Newcastle like Crystal Palace in 34. Even as a single game week fixture, I think that's okay for someone like an Anthony Gordon. So I think I'll stick to my first answer. I like Gordon as a season keeper. So can you, Andy, what was the second part of the question?
The second part of the question was, should I get Havertz or Rice?
It ought to be Havertz, I think. Declan Rice has been productive FPL-wise, you know, lots of goals, lots of assists at a very cheap price. But I just think Havertz has a higher ceiling and he's looked much better in an Arsenal shirt in the last couple of months. And again, if you're not planning to free hit in 34 and you want to get him in for the double, it's probably, you know, getting him in for Luton as well now is probably a good idea. So yeah, I like Havertz a lot more as a pick than I did, you know, a couple of months ago.
Yeah. Big Chief says, would you roll and play Kluivert or would you get Darwin or Mateta for Watkins?
I think I would gamble on Darwin. Yeah, I think I would take the gamble because of Sheffield United.
Yeah, I think so. I think if Kluivert had a little bit more about him, but I don't really think he does. He always seems to go off about 60, 65, whereas Darwin, you're going to get those minutes, hopefully.
Yeah, if it was someone else, you know, if it was a better midfield pick, it would be a lot more of a difficult decision. But I think of Kluivert and I think of 2 points most weeks, you know, so you may as well try and get a higher upside pick there, even if it is a -4.
Yeah. Cole Ingram says, hi guys, he's got quite a few here but we're not going to be able to go through all of them, so I'm just going to do the first one, which is, if you were on wildcard game week 31, what would be your rough structure of players?
I would need half an hour to answer this one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how different it would be to, I'll just open up my own team to see how different it would be to my wildcard last week. So obviously you probably don't go down the Gusto route now. Gabriel would still be there. I think the attackers would be broadly similar, you know, Cole Palmer, Salah, Saka and Son would probably remain up front. I'd probably put Isak in, but that's an easy thing to say. Isak, I think I would still have Haaland on a wild card this week. And then you'd probably be left with a decision I had last week. Do you go 3-4-3 or 3-5-2? Because I think Muniz is a very good option. And I still like Garnacho as a fifth midfielder as well. And Garnacho's kind of a, you know, hopefully a bench boost 37 player as well. So I don't think a huge amount would change. Maybe my strikers would be slightly different, but that's just, you know, hindsight stuff. And again, Kelleher, Bradley, you're probably, you know, a week closer to the others being back now. So maybe I'd be less inclined to go for the likes of Kelleher and Bradley than I was last week. So I'm just, my plan basically, Kelleher and Petrovic rotate quite well fixture wise short term. Obviously you don't really want Kelleher for bench boost 37, so I've kind of locked in a transfer there at some point, just to, you know, when I free up some funds from elsewhere with other transfers, I will just buy a bench boost 37 goalkeeper closer to the time there. So yeah, I don't think too much would be different. And of course wildcard depends on whether you have a free hit left or not.
Yeah. Right, last two. We got Omar says, hola from Petaluma, California. Cool, I bet it's nice there. It says, is it time for me to finally drop Gross?
Yeah, probably. I mean, Palmer, Saka, Son, Salah, Foden, who I went without, Garnacho, there's a couple of others as well. There's probably 10 midfielders in FPL that I would put above Pascal Gross at the moment. I don't like I didn't like all the rotation with Europe and stuff. He doesn't excite me. I know he's productive FPL wise, but I don't like relying on assists mainly.
Yeah.
From Pascal Gross. I know he gets bonus very often as well, but I just think at the moment, the current landscape, there's a lot of I think you want the big hitters from the big teams in midfield. So I don't think there's a space for Gross. I mean, if I went without Foden, that means there's definitely no space for Pascal Gross.
Yeah. We got one more in there, but I was just going to ask you as well. A lot of people this week are clamouring to get Salah, which is rightly so, but a lot of people can only do it by selling Son. Do you think that's a good move?
I think if you have to do it, you do do it.
Yeah.
I know it's... in an ideal world, you have both players, but we do all have sacrifices to make at time to time, and certain strategies will lead you down those paths. You know, that people who are selling Son for Salah this week are obviously on a different path, maybe to myself and yourself. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you've got to make difficult decisions, and Salah is a better pick. I think I'd even say he's a much better pick this week, yeah, because of fixture, and he's going to be very highly captained. You know, some people might even triple captain them if they still have that chip left. So, yeah, if you've got to do it and there's absolutely no other way to get both players, then, yeah, you've got to make peace with that decision and hope West Ham defend well, which they don't often do.
I think if you're not on free hit, it's an easy decision, isn't it? Because you're getting four fixtures instead of two over the next 3 weeks, which just makes it really easy. And obviously, like you said already, you're captaining Salah this week, and you know you could captain Salah in 33 as well. So I think it makes an awful lot of sense. But it's a tough one because Son's obviously done so well, and you know Postecoglou football is always quite attacking, isn't it?
Yeah. But again, like I said, sacrifices. I took the risk without Watkins, which was very scary. Given his ownership, I think his EO was like 80 odd percent. I just pretended the Villa game wasn't on. Check the score after. And again, I dropped Foden reluctantly as well. You know, again, a highly owned player who's just a very good player. So again, I was quite relieved to see him get substituted around the 60-minute mark. So yeah, you've got to make sacrifices and you've just got to get comfortable. We've been saying it all season. So you've got to get comfortable, you know, selling good picks for other good picks.
Yeah. Right, last question from Ryan and G says, who are your three best Arsenal assets for game week 31 onwards? Now, I know the first two, but I'm very interested to see who your third Arsenal asset would be.
Yeah, Saka, Gabriel are easy. I'm looking forward to free hit 34 because I've got the pick of the bunch then for the third one. I'm pretty sure I won't get a second defender that week. It just seems a bit boring for a one-week punt. So, but again, I'm trying to think of it from the question standpoint of best three Arsenal from now until 34. Saka, Gabriel, and I'm going to say... The reason I dropped David Raya on the wild card and I went with just Gabriel was I don't love the... I say this now, they just kept the clean sheet against Manchester City, but I looked at it and I looked at Man City, I looked at Brighton in 32, I looked at Villa in 33, and I didn't love the clean sheet prospects there, and that's why I went single Arsenal rather than double Arsenal mm-hmm. defence. So I would be inclined to go for an attacker at the moment, and I know he kind of blows hot and cold FPL-wise, and it's hard to predict when the points are going to come, but I just really like Odegaard. You know, he's just such a good player. You know, he's a talisman of the team, and He makes Arsenal tick, and there's always potential for 15-pointers in Odegaard, and you don't have any minutes concerns with him over maybe a Havertz or a Jesus or some of the others, you know, Martinelli's. So yeah, I'm going to say Gabriel, Saka, Odegaard as my top three.
Yeah, nice. I think that's pretty good, actually, to be fair. I think Havertz is going to start becoming tempting in a lot of teams, but when you get to game week 34 and you're thinking, is he going to be playing both of those games? That's when you start thinking an Odegaard with his, you know, definite minutes and the fact he's probably going to be on penalties if Saka isn't on the pitch. I think Odegaard's going to... I think that's a good, solid pick, personally.
I think... the question earlier, have I thought much about my free hit? No, but one thing I think I'm pretty sure on is Odegaard's probably going to be in it.
Yeah, nice. Would Haaland be in it with only one game?
The one game is Brighton away. Again, when it's 1 week, he probably won't be. So let me look at the fixtures. Again, that man Darwin is probably going to be there. You're going to have Solanke for a double. So Solanke, Darwin. I'm looking at the other teams, and they're not very inspiring in terms of strikers.
Mateta.
I'm not getting a Mateta over a Haaland for two games. I'm not getting a Mateta. I'm not getting a Calvert-Lewin. I'm not getting a Sheffield United forward.
Cunha,
if Cunha's back firing, I really like Cunha. And I know Arsenal's not great, but the Bournemouth at home looks good.
Hoyland.
Arsenal don't really... Jesus is not really an option. Yes, I don't think we should ignore single game week fixtures. You know, Hoyland, is that who you said, against Sheffield United? I like that more than Haaland that week. You know, it's Operation Target Sheffield United, I think, is a pretty sensible FPL strategy. So I think there's more chance of me having Hoyland than Haaland. But yeah, maybe Cunha. I like Cunha.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. Thank you so much for people in the chat that dropped your questions in. Sorry, there were a few that I couldn't get to, but obviously we can't get through absolutely everybody, but we've appreciated all of you being in there. I think we topped at about 300 people in the chat, Mark, which is not too bad. But thank you so much for joining us. Before we finish, Mark, FPL challenge. Did you do an FPL challenge this week?
I have to be totally honest. My interest in FPL challenge is close to zero. I don't know why. It didn't really grip me. I had to put a quick team together for the FPL show on Friday. Mm. And I'm pretty sure I like the idea you can pick five players in it. And I'm pretty sure I put four Tottenham defenders. So I had the goalkeeper and three defenders. So nice. As soon as Luton scored, I'm like, I'm not checking my FPL challenge score this week. And I used it to put in players I was selling on the wild card. So Foden was in and Ollie Watkins. So I probably should check it because it could have like less than 10 points.
So, this is quite a good way of doing it. So are you just every week going to make it based on the players you're selling or you don't own? So then one does well. And yeah, I like it.
It's like the, you know, you always have FOMO over players. Like I was terrified of Watkins. So I said, why not stick him in and captain him and challenge? And if it wins me a couple of prizes, that's going to ease the pain of FPL pain. So yeah, again, it's probably something I'll look at a bit more next season, but yeah. I'm totally focused on just FPL at the moment. But again, good to see them making some additions to the game.
Yeah, no, I like it. Like I said, it's like a FPL voodoo doll. I like it. So you can put all those players in your challenge team.
Just before we go as well, we should mention, I seen FPL Focal sharing the FPL cards, and I'm not going to lie, he got me. I thought they were real. I'm going to make a trip to Morrison's in a wee while to get some groceries, and I was going to ask them had they got the cards in yet. So
what are you talking about? They are real.
Yeah. I didn't really word that too well, did I?
No. Yeah, so FPL Focal's been sharing his cards. It's FPL fantasy cards, and people were getting very excited. People were going to the shop and trying to get some. I'm assuming trying to get some, first edition ones, so they could be the first ones to get them. But unfortunately, it is the 1st of April. They are not real. So the 300 people in the chat will know that, but there's still going to be some people getting caught out. And Mark, it kind of had you going, didn't it?
Yeah, and it was very cleverly done, the way you had loads of people replying to the tweet. You know, just got mine as well. It's that whole thing. People have something new. You also want something new. So thank you, Andy, for saving me some embarrassment in Morrison's later.
Yeah, no worries. It's nice, actually, that I'm saving people from embarrassment rather than the other way around, so I'll take it. Mark, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Obviously a little bit different, but it's been an absolute pleasure.
Cheers, Andy, and best of luck for the midweek.
Yeah, thank you very much. And again, thank you so much for the people that have been in the chat. Thank you so much for the people that are listening to this on the pods after as well. And we hope, remember, Tuesday deadline. So make sure you lock in your players by Tuesday. It's a very, very quick turnaround, but this is where we make our gains. So good luck and may your arrows be green. Bye-bye.